Morning, Ed.
Thank you, Michael, as well. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Johnny. I'll be your service leader today. Welcome to the Unity Center for Positive Living. I'm glad you could join us this morning, especially if this is your first time. Tom, this sounds a little loud. Does it sound loud back there?
Good.
Okay. All right. Okay, now I'd like to read to you from the Daily Word. These little daily readings are always I am, and I usually read them that way, but this one, I feel like if I stood up here and read this like that, I just feel like a braggart. So I'm going to change all the I's to U's. Let's see what happens. Let's see if I make any grammar mistakes. For Sunday, July 21st, valuable. As a divine being, you are valuable and irreplaceable. Each person is a spiritual being made in the image and likeness of God, blessed with a variety of spiritual gifts we share in different ways. The world needs your unique contributions. When you see yourself this way, you become newly aware of your value as a member of the human family, more confident in yourself as you shine the light of God as only you can. Living in the awareness of your value helps others see it too. You leave behind critical or negative opinions you may have held about yourself and treat yourself as the divine being you are. Like a beautiful gemstone, you too are a precious jewel among so many others. Together we sparkle and shine. And from the Christian Bible, so God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And that's from Genesis 1:27. And now it's time for a share of the presence. If you would all please join us in singing while the Merker family leads us. Stand here in front of you and hear your beautiful voice ringing out. Thank you for being here. Now it's time for our opening statement. Let's all say our opening statement together.
One presence
and heavenly power, active as the universe and as my life, God the good. Now it's time for our welcoming song. The Merker family will lead us in By Thy Grace. Please stand if you wish, and don't sit down afterwards because we will greet each other.
It's my grace that I
Thank you. Now that we are at church, time to greet our neighbors online. If there's anybody there, find gallery view and say hello to each other. Here, greet each other.
I do wish.
My name's Beth.
Hello. Oh my gosh, good to see you. I'm sorry, let me step on your foot.
Oh, I thought you were pushing to get out of the way.
Good morning.
Chetty and Robin, I'm John. Is this your folks' first time here?
Yes.
Mind if I introduce you after our greetings here? Are you shy or anything? Okay, all right.
I'm shy. Hi.
Morning, Sherry.
I'm Karen.
Hi, Karen. I'm Robin.
This is morning, Susan.
Oh, yeah.
Chetty.
I know, I
can't
get you. Yeah,
it's
good
to see
you. Jetty.
Good to see a couple of new faces here today. We have Chetty and Robin who have come to join us. Thank you folks for coming and joining us today. We're gonna do a new thing here. We've made a couple small changes to our program. And at this time, people want to include a gratitude share. So if you've had something that you're especially thankful for this past week, please feel free to share it with us. And it says in bold, in one sentence. Yes, Joanne.
Volunteering to go out to the freeway and find my phone that was run over. We searched for 2 days. It was on my roof of my car. But thank you, Johnny, for going.
They've never been on a search party. They're lots of fun.
Yesterday I had 31 years clean and sober.
All right.
I am massively grateful for the angel who replaced the fittings on the hose and faucet outside. And I believe that angel is Johnny.
No, Shoemaker's elves come in the middle of the night. You're welcome. You're very welcome.
Yes.
So you might want to change this from one sentence to something else.
No, I didn't. I did it in one sentence.
a run-on sentence. Anyone else? You know, I'm grateful that somebody added this part. I really enjoyed this very much today. So kudos to our service committee who is constantly working on our service. You might also notice if you're regular here, some changes to our affirmations today. So get ready for those. Now it's time for announcements. Do we have any announcements? Joanne?
August 16th, 6 o'clock, potluck goodbye party for me off to Australia at my house.
Joanne's goodbye party on the 16th. When? What time?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
I'll send an email out with the address.
All right, okay.
We have an opportunity for 2 people to be readers in August and 3 in September, and you can sign up on the door right outside.
Thanks. If you've got a favorite thing you'd like to read, please add your name. Anybody else? Okay, let's move on. Now it's time for our unity statement. Let's all say it together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. Now it's time for a song of joy. The Merker family will lead us in This Little Light of Mine. And please stand if you like. Can you do that when you're in Australia?
Nope. 2 o'clock in the morning when you guys are here.
We're looking for another volunteer to help create slideshows for Sundays if you're interested. Oh, and I'm noticing that Mariette Jones has joined us. Hi, Mariette. Nice to see you. She was our speaker last week. Okay. Now it's time for a reading. This morning our reading will be given by Tom.
Thank you, Johnny. Okay. morning, I pulled some quotes out of Thich Nhat Hanh's How to Love. If you pour a handful of salt into a cup of water, the water becomes undrinkable. But if you pour the salt into a river, people can continue to draw the water to cook, wash, and drink. The river is immense, and it has the capacity to receive, embrace, and transform. When our hearts are small, our understanding and compassion are limited, and we suffer. We can't accept or tolerate others and their shortcomings, and we demand that they change. But when our hearts expand, these same things don't make us suffer anymore. We have a lot of understanding and compassion and can embrace others. We accept others as they are, and then they have a chance to transform. When we feed and support our own happiness, we are nourishing our ability to love. That's why to love means to learn the art of nourishing our happiness. Understanding someone's suffering is the best gift you can give another person. Understanding is love's other name. If you don't understand, you can't love. The essence of loving kindness is being able to offer happiness. You can be the sunshine for another person. You can't offer it for yourself. So build a home inside by accepting yourself and learning to love and heal yourself. Learn how to practice mindfulness in such a way that you can create moments of happiness and joy for your own nourishment. Then you have something to offer the other person. If you have enough understanding and love, then every moment, whether it's spent making breakfast, driving the car, watering the garden, or doing anything else in your day, can be a moment of joy. To love without knowing how to love wounds the person we love. To know how to love someone, we have to understand them. To understand, we have to listen. When you love someone, you have trust and confidence in that person. Love without trust is not yet love. Of course, first you have to trust, respect, and have confidence in yourself. Trust that you have a good and compassionate nature. You are part of the universe. You are made of stars. When you look at your loved one, you see that he is also made of stars and carries eternity inside. Looking in this way, we naturally feel reverence.
All right, thank you, Tom. And don't forget, Susan's looking for more readers, folks. Okay. Now it's time for our meditation song. Please join us as the Merker family leads us in All Is Well.
You may remain seated.
All is well in this moment.
Okay, now it's time for our affirmations. You notice these will be a little bit different today. So let's all say them together. I am a joyous being of light. I am the love of God in expression. I am grateful for all that I am. I am one with the abundant nature of the universe. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time and in the perfect way. So this is the third Sunday of the month. Today we'll be saying the progressive Lord's Prayer, followed by the Alleluia. Now please join me. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy name. I am thy kingdom come. I am thy will be done. I am on earth, even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving my life, even as I am also all life forgiving me. I am leading all people from temptation. I am delivering all people from error. For I am the kingdom, I am the power, and I am the glory of God, the eternal, immortal manifestation. All this I am. Amen. Now it's time for our speaker. We have a different speaker each Sunday of the month. This morning we'll be hearing from licensed community teacher Audrey Pitchford, who will speak about praying for your loved ones.
Good morning, everyone. So there were a couple young kids in the Sunday service, and they were having a little challenge being patient. They were kind of picking on each other, poking at each other, as sometimes siblings like to do. And their parents were getting very exasperated. And finally, one of the parents decided they just needed to take the kids out. So as they were taking the kids out of the sanctuary, one called over the parent's shoulder, "Pray for me." And today's talk is on pray for your loved ones. Pray for your loved ones. This is part of our series that we're working through the book Pray Up Your Life by Reverend Charlene Emanuel. And Reverend Charlene has a lot of great things to say about prayer. First of all, her perspective is that there are many ways to pray, and she's not trying to change anyone's prayer style. She's just offering up ideas to practice with, and we can try them, and they may go great and they may crash and burn, and that's totally okay. We'll just try something else next month. But there are as many ways to pray as there are human beings. And I love Reverend Charlene's definition of prayer, that prayer is conscious, intentional communion with the divine. Conscious, intentional communion with the divine, because that can look like so many different things. Reverend Charlene also says that the more time we spend in prayer, the greater our awareness of the divine within ourselves, the divine within each person that we encounter. And I love that idea too. And I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways to be more mindful of that divine within me and that divine within others as well, especially as I'm like maybe driving through through life, maybe someone performs a car action that I don't appreciate. Yes, it's always helpful to remember the divine within. And we know too in unity that prayer is so important, that prayer and meditation are part of how we remember that divinity. This is one of our basic principles in unity because it's so important. And so as we're talking about praying for our loved ones, I'm guessing that everyone here has probably prayed for a loved one at some point. And so you know me, I like to hear what you think. So this is the chance for you to share. What are the benefits of praying for our loved ones? Why do we do that? Okay, so healing. Yeah, thank you, Terry. And I see your hand back there, Joanne.
Because you feel powerless to help them in what they're going through, but prayer is kind of like the antidote to that powerlessness and pain. Mm-hmm. It gives you something to do.
Very nice. Yeah, we might feel powerless to help them with their circumstances. It gives us something actionable that we can do for our loved ones. Thank you, Joanne. Great. Other thoughts? Reasons we pray? Yeah, Robin.
Us peace.
Ah, it gives us peace. Yes. Yeah.
Whatever's happening.
Okay, yeah, it helps us feel that sense of peace and comfort within. I saw another hand.
Yeah, it helps. For me, it helps me stay connected to God, because otherwise I can worry, and that's not love.
Oh,
at
yeah.
At the same time, so if I'm worrying, I'm not loving them.
Right.
And so that helps me stay in that space of love and connection.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So we can pray to stay in that place of loving connection so that we're not in a place of worrying. We're in a place of remembering our love and our connection and our oneness with the divine. These are great ideas. Yeah. Yeah. Mike.
Hope is the heart.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, terrific. Thank you. So prayer opens that heart space, removes barriers and blockages to that connection. Great. Great. Other things people want to share? All right. Well, sometimes I like doing research to see what science says about some of the benefit of our spiritual practices. And it's kind of funny trying to do research about prayer and what science can say about prayer, because prayer is an area that science has some challenge measuring. And part of the reason is that a lot of times when science is measuring something, there's a group of people who are doing the thing, and then there's a control group who aren't supposed to do the thing. And there were several articles that I read that said science has trouble getting a group of people to like not pray.
Right.
So what I'm gonna share is less from a scientific perspective and more from my own experience and also what Reverend Charlene says. So first, I love that this came out when we were talking about some of the reasons that we pray for others, that prayer can be very comforting. And one of the things that Reverend Charlene says in this chapter is that in all four of the Gospels, there's stories of Jesus asking the disciples to pray with him when he was on the verge of being arrested and killed. And I love this because this reminds me that no matter who we are, no matter where we are, we can always request and benefit from prayer from others. I'm part of the prayer team at Unity of Olympia. I felt a little intimidated the first time the minister came up and wanted prayer. And since that time, the minister has asked for prayer many times. And I think that's really important to demonstrate and remember that no one is above needing prayer. Even Jesus asked his friends to pray with him. All right, so some other reasons that Reverend Charlene suggests that we might want to pray for our loved ones. It blesses us, and I think this came out in the conversation, that our lives and our happiness are entwined with those of our loved ones. And so it makes a lot of sense that we want our loved ones to feel a sense of peace, to feel blessed, to feel a life that they're having a life of ease. And so as we pray for others, we're blessing ourselves. Praying for others also keeps us in a consciousness of prosperity, abundance, and flow. So let me give you an example. I have a sister who's financially pretty well off, and she and her husband have a timeshare in Hawaii, and they go to Hawaii multiple times a year. And I remember going shopping with my sister one time, and we were shopping for clothes for her to wear in Hawaii, because I guess the climate there is very different than here, and you can't wear the same outfits that you might wear here. And the sales lady was like, "Ah, I'd be really angry if my sister was going to Hawaii without me." And I thought about this, and I thought, yeah, it'd be really easy to get into a place of jealousy. And at the same time, I recognize that if I go into that space, if I go into a place of jealousy because my sister has something good and I feel like I don't have something good, then I am embracing a mindset of lack. I am believing Hawaii is limited, that if my sister goes, that means I can't go, and I don't want to participate in that mindset. I want to feel a sense of joy for my sister. She gets to go to Hawaii. She works hard. She gets to relax. She gets to have a vacation of peace, breathe in beautiful air, see beautiful scenery. And so as we pray for the good of our loved ones, we are keeping our prosperity consciousness open, remembering that as our loved ones are blessed, that same blessing is available to us as well. All right, more reasons to pray for our loved ones. I added this one. It's free. It's not something that costs us a dime. It's something that is always available to us. It's also confidential. I have prayed at my day job. I have prayed in the court. I have prayed when I've been around family members internally, when I wasn't sure that they'd be open to a verbal prayer aloud. We can pray wherever we are, whatever we're doing, in the car, riding an elevator, going up the stairs, driving down the road, whatever we may be doing, we always are able to pray. And people around us don't have to know that that's what we're doing if we don't want them to know. I think Joanne mentioned this. Sometimes it's the only action we can take. Sometimes we cannot physically do things to help our loved ones. If a loved one is having surgery, unless we are a surgeon ourselves, we probably are not going to be able to do something during that person's process, but we can always pray. And the flip side of that is sometimes the prayer reveals to us other things that we can do, other ways that we can support that person and be a loving presence in the way we want. Also, in this way, prayer can deepen our awareness of the divine and enhance our spiritual growth and understanding, especially if we start out in a place thinking that maybe we can't do something or that we are powerless. We may grow and advance in understanding through that time of prayer. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this growth of spiritual understanding through our prayer. Sometimes in Unity, there's debates about whether it's okay to pray for something specific and whether it's not. Personally, and this is just me, and other people in Unity see it differently, I think it's okay to pray for something specific. And I also think it's important to hold that specific thing lightly, recognizing that something better may arise. Now, when we're praying for others, sometimes we can fall into a trap if we pray for something specific. How many of us have ever prayed that someone we love will do something or will stop doing something? Maybe, yeah, maybe you don't have to raise your hands if you don't want to. I have to. And sometimes that can be a challenge in our prayers if we're really attached to the idea of if only my loved one would do X or if only they would stop doing X. So this is an opportunity for us to grow in spiritual understanding through our practice of prayer. Our Unity co-founder, Charles Fillmore, identified 12 powers, 12 spiritual abilities that Charles said were part of the divine, and therefore they are part of each human being. And some of these powers include faith, our ability to see the divine in everything, the power of release, our ability to let go, and the power of order, recognizing the right sequencing of events, that things have to start small before they can become large, and that the divine is in each step of the journey. So as we're praying for others, we may have an opportunity to let go of what Reverend Charlene calls our personal will, or I call it the part of me that wants things my way all the time, because I have such really good ideas. They should always prevail. Sometimes it's not about me and my so-called great ideas. Sometimes there's a larger picture. Sometimes there's more that exists than what I might know. Now, Reverend Charlene tells a couple stories in her chapter of people who came to her for prayer, where she wasn't able to pray with them for the thing that they wanted. For example, she said a woman came and asked her for prayer that the woman's boyfriend should leave his wife and marry her instead. And in another situation, Reverend Charlene talked about a woman whose son was gay who came asking for prayer that her son would just meet a nice girl and settle down. Now, in these instances, Reverend Charlene said that she wasn't able to pray that specific prayer with people, but she could affirm faith, the divine in all situations, release, letting go of attachment to how I think things should go, and order, recognizing the divine perfect unfolding in all affairs. One of the ways that I like to do this, especially acknowledging a larger plan than maybe what I know, is if I'm praying for something specific, and I certainly have, I think I've shared with everyone here, I have a very dear friend who passed away in December, and while she was living and dealing with her disease, I prayed for her to live. And in addition to that, I add this or something better, because that helps me not hold attachment to my preferred outcome, recognizing that there may be a larger picture than what I know. Another friend of mine affirms most benevolent outcomes for all, which I think is a lovely way of not attaching too tightly to one outcome and recognizing that there may be a larger picture than what I see. Reverend Charlene uses kind of traditional language. The word she uses, which are another option, is God's will is done. May God's will be done. And remember, in unity, we don't believe that God ever wills hardship or suffering for humanity. We believe that the will of the divine for all people is love, joy, peace, comfort in every situation. And we might use those words, recognizing that the will of God for all in the situation is divine blessing. So in this way, we can use our prayers to focus on the bigger picture, to advance in our spiritual understanding. And understanding is the divine power that we focus on in unity during the month of July. So another one of our divine powers that's always available and open to each of us. There's a unity writer named Winifred Wilkinson Houseman, and she calls understanding our ability to take what we've learned, our knowledge, wisdom, and experience, and put it all together to direct our life. She says understanding is what puts feet on our prayers, and it gives our spiritual understanding something to stand on. Understanding often begins with questioning. Questioning old ways of thinking, questioning what do I have in my consciousness? What am I maybe taking for granted? And sometimes people ask about the difference between the power of wisdom and the power of understanding. And Houseman says, wisdom knows, understanding knows why. So taking everything we know and putting it together. And we know that our prayers are not about changing the divine, that the divine is changeless. And so if anyone is going to change the process of prayer, the likely candidate is us. And one way that we can change is by growing in our greater spiritual understanding. Oh, and I see a chat message from Mariette saying that Mariette likes saying the highest and best. Thank you, Mary. The highest and best. Lovely. So some possible questions that can help us grow in our spiritual understanding can be reflection questions where we ask ourselves, what are my assumptions in this situation? If I'm praying for a loved one, what are my assumptions about my loved one? What am I believing they're capable of doing or they're not capable of doing? Maybe what have I always believed? That's an interesting thing to unpack. And how is this belief serving me now? Maybe it helped me for the first few decades of life, and it's not going to help me advance if I keep going forward. I wanted to share a story of a time that I had an opportunity to grow in spiritual understanding through prayer. So recently, I was asked in my family to be a family caregiver for a few weeks while some primary caregivers were on vacation. And I agreed to do this. And as I took on this role, I found myself having a lot of should thoughts. I should do this, I should do that, I have to do this, this is my job. And I turned into the B word. That's right, I got very bossy with my family member. As you can imagine, this did not go well for my family member. They did not appreciate my bossiness, and it didn't go well for me either. I felt super uncomfortable being bossy. And as I reflected in prayer and in meditation, I gained some understanding. And my understanding was, oh, I have a thought that it's my job to make my family member do certain things, or to make them not do certain things. And I got really clear that that was not my job. And in fact, that wasn't even possible. And that my intention with my family member was not to be bossy, but to be more of a peer and a loving support person. And with that new spiritual understanding, I was able to adjust and stop being bossy with my family and share thoughts and questions and ideas, and also trust them to make their own decisions and share their thoughts and ideas. Our relationship improved. I felt a lot less stressed. Yeah. So the power of understanding in action is always something that we have access to, and always something that we can increase further with prayer, with meditation, with reflection. In every one of her chapters, Reverend Charlene includes a Bible quote, and she calls this a prayer anchor, something to remind us of the topic she's talking about. And remember that in unity, we don't take the Bible literally, so we don't get super wrapped around the axle about whether everything in the Bible really happened the way it was written down. We trust that there probably wasn't someone following Jesus around, writing things down as Jesus was saying them. Many of the Bible stories, in fact, were verbal stories for hundreds, if not thousands of years before they were written down. This particular quote comes from a letter that Paul sent to the Philippians. And I love this, this quote. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy." So in unity, we practice metaphysical Bible interpretation, which means we look beyond the surface. The word metaphysical literally just means beyond the physical. And the great thing about metaphysical Bible interpretation is I get to decide what this passage means to me, and you get to decide what this passage means to you. And we don't have to see it the same way. That's okay. We can each come to our own understanding and our own awareness based on this passage. So I know what jumps out at me from these words. I'm curious, what jumps out at you from this passage? "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy." Anything jump out at you?
Gratitude.
Gratitude, yes, I love that too, Robin, thank you. The idea of appreciating, thinking of our loved ones with gratitude.
Reconnection to the divine.
Ah, yes, reconnection to the divine. Thank you, Tom. Beautiful.
Honor.
Honor. Okay. All right. Thank you, Terry. It's a very honoring statement. Anything else jump out at you from these words? A few things that I see here that I really like, the appreciation. I love making requests with joy. Again, not from a place of lack or fear. And I know that sometimes when I start a prayer for a loved one, especially if they're struggling and I feel worried, I might start from that place of lack and fear, and I want to move to that place of joy, to affirm their good from that place of joy. I also love the comfort in a passage like this, the idea of someone else thinking of me when I'm not there, thinking of me enough to feel grateful and to want to pray for me. And I feel like, yeah, I want to do that for my loved ones too. I want to think of them when they're not here. I want to extend appreciation and love to them. I want to be part of that. So this quote is on the handout that Tom handed around. If you want to ponder it further, there's also some practices and ideas on that handout. There's a word search, which I always love that Reverend Charlene includes those because I think they're kind of fun. And that's her reminder for us to look beyond the surface of what we might see. And she also has a prayer practice that we're going to go ahead and give a try. And I want to explain this practice before we jump into it. So we'll use our meditation time to practice this particular suggestion from Reverend Charlene. So Reverend Charlene talks about a prayer pattern where we pray for ourselves first, and then our loved one, and then the world. And she points out that in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Jesus follows a very similar pattern to this, where he prays for himself, and then his friends and loved ones, and then the world. Now, this format can be used with any prayer. And I selected the prayer of protection just because I feel like most of us probably know that. And if you're not familiar with it, it's up on the screen. And before we start, I'll give you some quiet time to identify that you want to focus your prayer intention on. And then the first time we will say the prayer of protection together. If you want to say it out loud with me, you're welcome to. If you want to just say it in your mind, you're certainly welcome to do that as well. And we'll say me, so the light of God surrounds me, the love of God enfolds me, etc. After we go all the way through that, we'll pause, we'll breathe, we'll take that into meditation for a bit, and then we'll move into you. So that's when we'll bring to mind the idea of our loved one that we're holding in prayer, or our loved ones. And if you want, you can use their name, the light of God surrounds Susan, or you can say the light of God surrounds you. And again, you can speak it out loud with me, or you can speak it quietly. And you know, if we're all saying different names on top of each other, that's totally okay. God knows what we're saying. And we'll go all the way through that, and then we'll pause, take that in, breathe, meditate. And then the third time, we will say the world. The light of God surrounds the world. The love of God enfolds the world. And again, you can say it out loud or silently, whatever works for you. And then we'll take some more time in the silence. So before I get into that, does anyone have any questions about what we're doing? All right, well, let's go ahead and give it a try. So I invite you first to settle into your space, eyes open or closed, whatever works best for you. Go ahead and breathe in naturally, in and out, feeling yourself supported by the chair. And I invite you to let your inner understanding show you, reveal to you who you will hold in prayer during this meditation practice. It may be an individual or a few individuals. It may be a group. It's your choice. And I'll give a couple moments in silence for you to discern who that will be. And so as we start this prayer time together, I invite us to say the prayer of protection, focusing first our intention on ourselves. And so you may say this with me aloud or silently. The light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is, and all is well. And now I invite us to call to mind our loved one and to say the prayer of protection for them, either using their name or their names or their group or saying you, aloud or silently. The light of God surrounds you. The love of God enfolds you. The power of God protects you. The presence of God watches over you. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well. And I invite us now to say the prayer of protection, thinking about the whole world, the whole planet. And again, you may say it out loud or silently, whatever works the best for you. The light of God surrounds the world. The love of God enfolds the world. The power of God protects the world. The presence of God watches over the world. Wherever the world is, God is, and all is well. I invite you to hear these words as the words of your own heart. I know my prayers are powerful. I know my prayers make a difference. I am greatly honored to pray with my loved ones. I am part of that beautiful prayer energy circulating between me and my loved ones. And all around the planet. And for this awareness of our ability to pray and our oneness with Source, we are so, so grateful. So grateful. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you. Wonderful. I want to do that all the time. Okay. It's time now for a healing prayer. We'd like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone. Speak out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts. Members of our church have requested we send out healing prayers and energy to all people and animals displaced by war and natural disasters, the members of our communities who struggle to meet basic human needs, and those we have lit candles for in the back, and those you can mention now. Pray for John. Yeah.
Dixie.
Beloved Mother, Father God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for all, and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Now is our opportunity to give. We are so grateful to be in the spirit of generosity by giving of our time, talent, and treasure. We welcome each of these gifts from you as you, as a member of our spiritual community. Anyway, just a moment, we need your blessing. Thanks, real quick, sorry. I've forgotten about it. Joanne woke me up. That's all. Divine love, through me, multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Take me. Step over to the piano. All right, now it's time for a blessing of thanks. Let's all say our blessing of thanks together. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplying abundantly. And so it is. And I know we said it for me and for you and for the world. Let's say it for us now. Let's do the prayer protection, folks. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. Now it's time for a peace song. Let's stand in form, circle, and join hands in preparation for a song of peace. Then while you're all moving around, let's express our gratitude to those who made our service possible today. Our speaker, Audrey Pitchford, our reader, Tom Craven, the musicians, the Merker family, and Joanne for doing our slides. Next week, folks, we're going to have a special speaker. As you know, we're kind of a democratic organization here. We don't have a regular minister. We have different speakers each Sunday of the month. And our organization is run by a steering committee of elected board trustees. Well, last year, Reverend John Winfield, who was our minister of record, made his transition. And we've been looking about with the help from Unity Worldwide, Unity Northwest, for a new person to replace him. So next week, Reverend Michael Brooks will be coming down to tell us about himself and what his plans are, and see if he would like to be our minister of record. So I really encourage you all to come and join us next week, and right after service, come and join us downstairs for food and fellowship. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
With God as Creator. moment in peace, return.